"Lord, we don't know where we are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So in other words, Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for us, but he's going to become the way that we can get there. And by following him and trusting in him, that's how we get there. But until this is before he'd done this, and before Jesus had prepared that way, we've got to realize that there is no way for us to get into that room. And there is no eternity with God. And going into that, let's talk about a bit about the fourth reason. But I'm not going to focus that on too much because we've just done a whole sermon series on it. It says it in verses 60 and 17, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into the truth." As we just heard in the last sermon series, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's here to work with us. And through him, we can really fulfill our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus also says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Like I said, I'm not going to go into that much more detail, but it's about saying that through the Holy Spirit, we can achieve greater things than Jesus did. And I think we just need to trust in the Holy Spirit a whole lot more than we do, and really to invite him to take control of our lives. Now, although Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me," that's not just an excuse to go, "Oh, well, Jesus has sorted it all out, so I don't need to live for him." But we need to live as if Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and he is the life that we need to live for, and that we need to follow his way. I feel like today's church has gone a bit away from that. Today's church seems very, like, passive. Like, he's going to, like, sit down, watch a film. Maybe, yeah, you go in, get a drink or something. Maybe laugh if it's a comedy, a couple of jokes in there. But you're not. It's not that involving, and you really don't see that much action in it. It's like, if you're going to start a church today, what people would you need? What would you want in it? It's like, oh, I want a great preacher, maybe a really nice building, a youth worker maybe, like a really good worship leader, all these different people. But it doesn't say in the Bible that we need any of those. Like, it says we don't need any of these things that we think we want to have. It says we just don't need them. They're not part of the necessary church. And it says that all the church needs is a group of people who follow Jesus and want to, like, live for him. And then because of that, they're discipling each other in him. They're going to grow spiritually, and they're going to achieve great things together. I love the analogy of how the church is described as a family. And in a family, you grow up. Like, I'm kind of growing up now, ish. I've grown in height, but yeah. Yeah, and so eventually, once you sort of turn 18 or whatever, you can go off, you can look after yourself, you can do your own things, whether it's going off to uni or do whatever. And for some reason, I don't see that much of that attitude in church, because I see people sometimes being Christians 5, 10, 20 years, but they're still not looking after, they still rely on other people's teaching. They don't read the Bible, they don't pray that often. It's like, in the family analogy, it's like having sort of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s living at home. They don't know how to do their own washing. They can't clean. It's like, what are you going to do when your parents aren't there if they want to go on holiday? I mean, it's completely useless to do that, and it's just not helpful. And we just need to have that attitude of, we need to train each other up so that we can look after ourselves as Christians. We can grow by ourselves out of church as Christians, reading the Bible and praying. And not just giving it, saying, oh, we've got this person to do that job and this person to do that job for us, so we don't need to do it. Maybe sometimes we don't need to do that all the time in church, but we still need to have that knowledge of what to do. Like, take evangelism, for example. One of the main church purposes of the church, and I want to have a quick look at how this passage relates to this. So we think today, sort of, what would be a great way to, like, for loads of people to become Christians, like maybe hold some big event, maybe get some great, maybe Christian celebrities to speak and stuff, have a great speaker, massive band, maybe get like a good youth program going, or I could have it in a great big amazing building, like loads of lights and all flashing stuff and make it look all cool. But the Bible doesn't say any of that, and I don't think that's coming from following Jesus. That's just trying to do our things our own way and trying to see what we think would work for church. Jesus actually says something, well, it's completely different. It's just seems crazy. Jesus says what we need to do. He says, become one, get the church so we're so united that people just see the love we have for each other and then they believe. And that's just completely different to what we think of. And a lot of the time we hear in the Bible of Jesus referring to people becoming Christians are things like the deaf will hear, the blind will see, and raising the dead, for example. And if I had to give you the challenge, I said, I want you to go over to Grange Cemetery after the service, and I want to try and get you to raise someone from the dead. Yeah? It's like, who are you going to bring then? Because I don't think a good communicator is going to help raise someone from the dead or someone who's read the Bible 50 times. I don't think that's going to help raise them from the dead. I think the only thing that could do is maybe getting just a group of people who have a really good relationship with God just to come together to pray and pray and pray, and then maybe, just maybe, God will answer and do something that will raise that person from the dead. It's about realizing there's nothing we can do that's going to raise someone from the dead, and there's nothing that we can do by ourselves that's going to achieve these things. It's only through God and His Holy Spirit following the way of Jesus that we can do these things. I know that's like not what our logic would come up with, but would our logic come up with, well, walk around the city 7 times and the walls will fall down? Or, oh, just get Moses to stick his staff in the water because that always works. It's like, yeah, we don't think of these things. But this book is a book of faith, and it's not about coming up with our own plans about how we think things will work. It's about trusting in God, saying, like, God says this in this book, that this will work, and that is what I believe, and I trust in that, and that I believe that God will do these things that He says He will. And we see the results of, like, really having this love for each other in Acts chapter 2, where it says, no one had any need when people were caring for each other. And then what happened, it says, more were added to their number every day. I think that's part of, like, the fulfillment of what Jesus was saying when He said, I am the way. And that's what happens when we do follow His way. Something I like to do to put some bits in perspective is to pretend I've been on an island my whole life, living alone, never seen anyone else, and just had a Bible, and see what my thoughts were like. Have a look at what would your thoughts be and what the church would be if you just had a Bible and never saw any other Christians, been to a church before, just reading the Bible. What would you actually think it's going to be like? And then, like, for me, I'd just be like, I just need more of God, really, and God's the only thing that matters. And from this book, I say I just need to be filled by His Spirit, you know. I want to be empowered by Jesus. I want to hear from Him. I want to move with Him. And then say one day you managed to get off, like, that island, and then you went out into the world with other people, and you start looking for these other believers that it talks about in the Bible. And it's like, yes, come on, we're going to go out. We're going to share this in this mission. We're going to go out together as one. We're going to reach the unreached. And then you hear about there's a church down the road, and after reading the scriptures, it'll be like so exciting because it's like all these people who believe are just going to be together, they're going to be meeting together, they're going to be praying, we're going to worship together. Oh, it's going to be amazing, I'm going to feel so loved there. You know, I'm just going to walk in the door, they're just going to start loving me. It's like, oh my gosh, you've been on this island this whole time. It's, oh, you need any food? Yeah, we've got more than we need. Money, yeah, you need a place to stay. We'll look after you, you know. We're going to reach this community in this way. This is our mission. This is how we do things. Like, that's not what we see. Like, today we walk into the back of church, maybe a couple of people chatting, and it's like, after a couple of minutes, yeah, come on, guys, shut up, sit down, time for service. Sing a couple of songs, music might be good, might be bad, depends who's leading, you never know. Yeah, you know, a 20-minute sermon or whatever, then, well, just go home and see you next Sunday, and that's it, and that's all people do. I just don't see that in the Bible. So, when Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, the thing that I take away most from that is that Jesus is saying, you know, believe that I am the way, the truth, and life, and live like that. Even if we think we're right and we've got it sorted and we know best, about saying, no, I don't think what, I'm not gonna, just going to do what I think is best. What I think Jesus would do is actually about reading this book, praying, and then actually seeing and hearing from God about what Jesus wants us to do. Like, some of us think that, like, oh yeah, Jesus, just stick him on maybe. If I want to go on a journey with Jesus, come on in my car. Jesus, get in the boot, go on. I'll get you out when you're needed maybe. But Jesus isn't going to get in the boot of your car. He's not going to get in the passenger seat of your car. It's about saying, you know, Jesus, you drive. I will go wherever you go. I will follow you to the ends of the earth to fulfill what you have called me to do. I will do anything for you. And as followers of Jesus Christ, like, that's what he called us to do. And I think that, you know, we are called to go out and spread the word of the gospel. And there's nothing that compares to that. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can do that. And I want to start to invite the band to come back up. Now I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to have a time of worship and a time to respond to this. And really, we want to listen to God, maybe praise him. We want to sing together. We just want to ask God to fill us with his Spirit so we can achieve these things. So I'm going to pray. Yeah, Father God, we invite your presence into this place. We acknowledge that sometimes we do think that we know best, and we're often quite wrong about that. We think that just because we've seen someone else do it, or this is the way that things work now and they didn't work like that when in the Bible times, that we just have the confidence to trust in you, that you will deliver us through hard times. You will deliver us through all the trials, and you will bring us out victorious because the battle we are fighting has already been won by you. When you were on that cross and you died for us, Lord, that is when the battle was won for us, and we thank you for that. We just want to pray for you to empower us so we can go out and be the Christians that you have called us to be. Amen.